With a history of kings and queens and heroic figures, modern-day England exudes the image of a noble nation and a kind-hearted people. As a multicultural nation that is diverse in religious customs and beliefs, England is truly unique as one of the world's leading countries. It embodies an aura of romance and fantasy, of gallantry and nobility. On the brink of a new millennium, a noble sage arrived in England to share the secrets of heaven and life after death. A world-famous humanitarian, spiritual teacher and artist, Supreme Master Ching Hai selflessly embarked on an 18-country lecture tour to share the message of hope, love and peace. Her wisdom and wit soothed and rejuvenated the hearts of all those who sought to rediscover the inner sanctum of truth and the kingdom of God. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled Maya Could Also Become a Buddha, given on February 1st, 1997 in London, England.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
The Christian and Buddhist monks and the Buddhist nuns have the head shaved, and the Christian nuns have the head hidden.
And they cut their hair short too.
Yeah, no, no.
They hide it.
And so I.
You want to know why?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a tradition, alright? In India, when you want to renounce the world, even just one day, 2 days, that's allowed. And then just to symbol your renunciation, the teacher or the one who is responsible for that ceremony will shave your hair. But afterwards you grow it back again. Or even after you became a monk and become a monk permanently, you still can continue to grow your hair after just that one time shaved. But some monks never shave their hair. They don't care. The Indian monks are truly understanding more. They don't care your hair long or your hair short. They know the spirit of monkhood, okay? Maybe that's why the Christian do not have to shave the hair. Why should you? Christian follow Jesus, you see? You see? A Christian and Jesus have long hair, see? That's why they keep it that way. And the Buddha has no hair. No, he shaved the head, you see? And all his monks shaved the head, so they follow Buddhism. In that period of time, when people shave their head to symbolize renunciation, so they just follow the teacher. But it's just a tradition, okay? And sometimes people do not understand the true tradition, so they force people to shave the hair all the time. Or sometimes people shave it and feel cool, so they shave it all the time. Actually, in India, one time only to symbolize renunciation. And you can do it as often as you want, every time you want to renounce the world for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years, whatever. It's not compulsory that you have to follow the monkhood the whole of your life. Never. And it's not compulsory that you have to leave your hair shaved the whole of your life. Never. You can do it if you want. But in India, things are very flexible, open-minded, and broad. You know, everybody happy, most of the monks are happy. They don't bother about hair. Some monks, they leave their hair so long that when they walk, it's trail around them, you know, behind them, like a train. Yeah? Yeah, and they put sometimes cow waste to mat their hair together so the fleas don't breathe in their hair. And they never wash their hair. And that's their kind of renunciation. And some of the Sikhs renunciate before they had to leave their hair long, even the men, and have a bunch on top of their head. Oh, that's their renunciation. And the Sikh have to grow bare as well, not woman, okay, don't worry. Grow bare, that's their renunciation. For example, you know, it just symbolizes their school of thought. And people look at them and know, this one belongs to Buddhists. It was the idea in the old times. But when the Buddha died already, you have to find another school, the living school of Buddhism, to study. Whether you want to shave your hair or not, it makes no difference. As you already know, it's proven to you, after initiation.
Hello, Master.
Oh, you're from France?
No, England.
England?
Yes.
Oh, last time I saw you in France. Same beard, same hair, same mustache. Okay, go on.
I don't know if this is an appropriate place to ask this question.
Why not?
I had the story of the one disciple of Buddha who came before, and he had a chance to ask his master to stay in the world forever.
Yes.
But he missed the opportunity.
Yes, Anand and Sakyamuni Buddha.
Yes. And I was wondering why I have this thought. So I'm thinking...
I could explain to you why it didn't happen, huh? What you want to know, right? Okay, I explain to you. Okay? That is a work of God too. Even though it is hindered by Maya. But it's supposed to be like that.
Yes.
Can you imagine if the Buddha stay here forever? Then you will not practice. You take everything for granted, as long as it's everlasting, easy approached, you know, easy get, easy forget. So the Buddha has to go, he has to die, one day or another, one way or another. That is very good for mankind. Don't do the opposite. The Buddha will come in another form, and whoever are very longing for the inner truth will find that Buddha at that time, okay? Don't worry about mankind. They go on forever. They will be there when the next master comes. And the reason why Ananda, the disciple, that the closest to the Buddha, did not hear the question of the Buddha, and therefore did not invite him. After the third time, the Buddha asked, you want him to, he hinted. He said, well, the Buddha can stay in the world forever. You know that? But Ananda did not request. And after the third time, he cannot ask anymore. After the third time, if the Buddha requests you something and you did not reply or you did not comply, then the Buddha cannot ask further, cannot not allow to ask you any further, not allow to persuade you to do any further. So everything within the three times limit. Huh? So Ananda was the closest disciple of the Buddha, but he was the last one to become enlightened. Why? Just like marriage. You take your partner for granted when you see them every day. You don't see the greatness in them. Even though he might be the president of the United States or, you know, the biggest scientist of the world, you still think of them as just a mere, you know, father, mother, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. Same with Anand, because he's so close to the Buddha. He did not see. He did not pay attention to what the Buddha said. Sometimes he's not attentive. So the great moment came when the Buddha hinted that he could stay in the world forever. Anand missed it. And that opportunity never come back again. So the Buddha had to go. Yeah. But that's good. Don't blame Anand. And don't feel sorry for the Buddha. That's good for the Buddha. First, you don't suffer long. It's good for mankind because mankind will have longing. They also know that the Buddha has come and the Buddha has to go one day or another. So they have to search. They have to treasure the presence of the Buddha when the Buddha is still alive. So that's very good for mankind. Don't blame the Maya either. Don't ask any masters to stay too long. It's not necessary. All right? You're welcome. Master is inside you. If a master go, another one will come. Always. Okay? Don't worry. The world is never without a master. At least one. Or two, sometimes. Not too many, huh?
Yes, I don't remind exactly the words, but in the small books, aphorisms coming from master, it's written somewhere that sometimes Maya could be also Buddha, and that means also that if not Buddha, wouldn't be a Buddha. I don't understand this sentence very well.
Okay.
I have some meanings, but I am not sure.
Okay, tell your meaning. Tell your understanding first.
Oh, my understanding is that even the devil, if he turns, could be also become one day good and become also a Buddha, because everybody could become a Buddha.
Mm-hmm.
Even the bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reason one Buddha is Buddha, but I don't know if it is the meaning exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's correct in a part of it, yeah, in a sense. But the meaning is like this. The Maya is also the Buddha. It's like this. Because originally, everything came from one place. You know, the nothingness, the beginning of all things. So where can the Maya came from? If not came from Godhood, came from Buddhahood, or from the kingdom of God, okay? In the beginning, we all were master, or part of the master plan, part of the whole of the creation, like a piece of cake, of apple pie, of the whole apple pie, all right? But then each of us carries something individually different, like, okay, this one has tomato on it, the next one has mushroom, and the next piece of pizza, you know, that has some olive on it. That's it, okay? And some part is smaller, some part is bigger. For smaller for children to eat, bigger for, you know, adult to eat, for example, like that, huh? So in the beginning, we were all master anyhow, or at least we part of the masterhood. But then, if we want to have fun in the world, then we have to divide ourselves. Each one take up a different role. So one take up as a role as a Buddha, and the other one take up a role as the opposite of the Buddha, just like in a theater play. In the beginning, all the actor, actresses belong to the same company. But the one who is cut out to be the main actress, she must be so and so and so beautiful or have so and so and so figure. And the other one is designed to be a maid, and she has to wear such and such dress and behave in such and such way and have such and such kind of portion of the body, thing like that. So we all the same. But when we descend into a lower level of existence, such as this world, then we have to relinquish our right as a master in order to play another role. So if you play that role too long, it could be possible that you forget everything that you have done in heaven, or forget what you are, your greatness. That's why I tell you, the master is within you. Now if you want to reclaim your masterhood again, then begin. You know, search inside. For so long you search outside in order to fulfill your role, your purpose, whatever, and you forget, okay? So now is the time to look back inside for your own greatness. And then so Maya is actually playing the role of Maya for the purpose of balancing the creation, for the purpose of making it spicy. If there is no opposite, how you recognize the other part, you know? If you have never ever seen a woman in your life, you would not recognize yourself as a man. Therefore, there must be a Maya, there must be a Buddha, thing like that. And that's why all the masters tell you, you are equal, you are all children of God, or you are all the Buddha, you have all Buddha nature inside, and that's the only truth there is. Okay? But that doesn't mean that when you look at somebody doing evil things and you say, that is good. No, evil is evil, good is good. Because for that purpose, they are evil or they are good. Now God made them like that, so we know good. If there's no evil, we don't recognize good. Just like when there's no sorrow, we don't know what happiness really means. So there must be the opposite, what we call yin and yang, so that we can recognize ourselves. Okay? Each one help the others to recognize their greatness. So no problem about that. You got it? Huh?
Not exactly.
Well, you are the professor. You're so used to with complicated explanation and books. So it's difficult for me. Maya is the Buddha. Because there is no Maya in the beginning. There is only Buddha who masks as a Maya in order to play a bad guy. Because without trial, without a bad guy, how can you prove you are good? How can you realize you are good? All the heroes are born from situation. No? All the medicine and all that things that came from sickness. If there's no sickness, there's no great doctor, no great medicine, no great discovery. If there's no need for light and industry and like that, we have no discovery of electricity. Okay, there is just a purpose of badness in order so that everyone can recognize what goodness is and keep on to it. Okay? But the bad one has done that, has masked himself as a bad one for that purpose, so that you be great. so that you know, oh, this is bad, I should not do this. I have to keep on with the good one, okay? Because you compare, you say, oh, this is really bad. This is good. Because if you don't have a bad one to compare, you don't know. Okay, you lost your direction and purpose. So there must be a Maya. But there are the Buddha who mask behind the Maya. Got it or not?
Yes.
Oh, good. Bless you. Bless you, bless you. It is abstract, you know, and it's very difficult to understand. That I know. But I am very proud of you that as a professor of your age, at the great university in Belgium, and you have practiced humility enough to ask me this question and to even admit it when you did not understand. I really appreciate that. Okay?
Thank you, Master, for sharing time with us. I've been practicing just convenient method several months.
Yes.
And I have not been initiated. If I see any light or sound,
oh, if you see any light or hear any sound, right?
Then how can I recognize or judge it is whether it is true or false?
Okay. When you close your eyes, all right, and you close it with a band, you know, like a blinder, huh? And if it's all dark, right? It's all dark at that time then. When you go to the airplane, they have them, huh? They light. Not that you bend yourself with a bandage, you know. And then you close it, it's all dark. And suddenly the light flash. Or there's a point of light, you know, moving, and then you concentrate on that. Then at least, then you know, okay?
How about sounds then?
Sound, you don't have it yet, honey. You're not into the sound yet. The sound comes later with the initiation.
So it has to be the light first?
Because you are just a beginner, so you have not committed yourself, you know, by your vegetarian diet or by your own decision. Therefore, we just give you a taste, okay?
Can I have some questions?
Oh, sure, please.
Does our attitude towards to death has always got to be serious?
What kind of attitude we should have toward death?
Does it have to be serious, or can you laugh in?
Well, it depends on how you want to go. You can
but
go
no,
laughing.
It is question for any death, for doctor, for which doctor has situation,
oh, yes.
For own death, for everything.
I know what you mean. Like you mean the doctor when they see death every day, right? How should they feel, right? Huh?
Not only doctor, own death as well. Should we be this serious about this or not?
Why is our attitude serious towards death?
Not everybody is. I'm not.
What for me important very much, you know.
Important for you? Life, not death. Live while you are alive. And death, when it comes, you can't do anything about it, whether you're serious or not serious. No use. Huh? Enjoy your life while it lasts. That's what I can tell you. There's no death actually, just a change of the body. But as long as you don't come back to this physical body, you feel great. You're in heaven. You're in freedom. You're in peace. You never lack anything at all. Instead of like living in this world, in this physical body, you have to clothe it, feed it, take care of it, and medicine it, vaccinate it, and make it up and make it down, everything, and still it's not so good. But in the body after death is very light, very shining, very leger. You can go anywhere you like in an instant without, like that, without needing a helicopter or booking in the train ticket and all that. Go through custom and searching all over,
Okay, this means you should love him.
Ha ha, yes. But I'm afraid at that time you have no more muscle to laugh, you know. Everybody dies almost the same. Very tight lip. But you can arrange your smile beforehand. Like like you say to the cremator, you know, say, oh, please stick to toothpicks, you know. At the both corner of my mouth, for me. They can do everything nowadays, the makeup artist, you know, for the deaf. Don't they, can they? Yes. Just pay a little extra money for the two toothpicks.
It's the first time that I'm here, actually. And,
me too. I've never been here before.
I'd like to ask you about an experience I had a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And actually, I went through a very, very difficult time for my life. And I came out of this time, and after a couple of months, I talked to my cousin about it, and she was very much into meditation at that time as well. Mm-hmm. And she gave me a massage, and then she said she's going to give me some energy with her hands, mm-hmm. not my head.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was in front of my forehead, I kind of switched off and saw myself sitting on a train, like going inside of a mountain, mm-hmm. and going down in circles, and it was getting faster and faster and faster. Like, I felt I'd go through the whole time of my life again, the bad time.
Mm. Bad time?
No, I went through a big crisis.
Uh-huh. When she moved in front of you, you re-experience all the pain?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
This is a kind of hypnotism. People use that in therapy.
All right, no, it went on. So I woke up kind of way, and I just want to get out of this feeling.
That's good.
And my cousin said, like, sit down and pray for this white light.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had this very strong feeling here in front of me, and I had this purple oval ring, and this white light came, and it was just like basically it was a feeling of everything exists at the same time, like good and bad.
Do you want to go back to that kind of painful past experience again?
No.
That's what you call experience?
No, it's just the experience I think about is this white light, actually.
The white light will come.
Yeah.
When you let go of the past, like light. Okay? Yeah. Let go of the attachment for the past experience. And let go of the expectation.
Mm.
But when you expect, your mind is occupied with thinking like, okay, I want to have that again, da-da-da-da. Mm. Keep thinking and arguing and intellectualizing all the time. And you can't concentrate.
Mm.
In our meditation, you should just relax and wait. Mm. The light is there all the time anyhow. Just make sure you are awake when it comes. That's all. The white light is, the third level. Anyhow, it's not big deal. But you have reached the third level at that time. You came back down again.
People tend to travel in their sleep at times, and find that they return back very, very fast, causing them concern, which perhaps stops other people from repeating the experience as well. Can you perhaps elaborate on this for us?
Why do you feel about that?
No, it's the coming back. You know, sometimes you come down too fast, you're falling too fast.
Are you still here?
Yes, absolutely.
So
there's no problem there.
I don't see any. Do you?
No, none.
All right.
Thank you.
Welcome. Everyone individually must experience different kind of, heavenly encounter, huh? And take what yours is. Be brave. You're going into the unknown. You're going to the beyond. You go beyond this world, beyond the touch and see and smell and that kind of world. So be prepared. Go faster if you can. No problem. You worry about everything that is really non-existence. Don't worry about the body. Even if the body has to go, let it be.
Dear Master, when I meditation, I've got a lot of power in my body. I feel sometimes I don't know what I should do. I could running.
Yeah? So powerful, you feel energized, right?
You feel so strong.
I know.
Other questions. So when reading Master book, I feel your book like the high story book. Some very, very old high story person writing a book. So knowledge, wisdom, logical. So when I saw you today, you look like a younger girl.
Thank you.
So lovely. I'll kiss you, you know, like that. Just keep touching, you know. I feel you're so lovely. And for the respect you, I think it's same me feeling probably everybody in here. Mm. So do you feel passion? If people love you, what should you do? Then you are you're pretty, you're younger than you are master, you are famous in the world. If people like for example, people love you,
mm-hmm.
have you good passion, I don't know how can I explain. Because you are a human being too.
Mm.
I'm a human being.
Yeah. Do I have passion?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Talk so long and just ask that question. You think I'm wood or made of concrete or what? I told you. I get all the things that you get. I did not lose anything. I just gained more wisdom.
Do you feel a lot of pressure?
Yes, I do.
Because you saw million people love you.
Oh, yes,
I do. Reading your magazine, you say everybody.
I understand now. I understand. You mean you expect that I am very old or all wrinkled? I do have some, but not that much yet. And barely and all that? Well, I'm getting old also, you know. Just as my face probably don't look that old sometimes.
That's not empty, it's so lovely. That's why I find out why people love you. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of color on your...
No, it depends on what kind.
You know,
depends on what kind. Yes. I understand. I tell you. Straight. If the love is a kind of a general love, you know, and respect, with no condition imposed, no expectation on me, then it's very, very beautiful. It's very... harmonious and very blissful for me. It's a blessing. But if there is a kind of selfish love imposed upon me, then I feel pressure very much.
Everybody loves you, want to see you, or want to around you, listen to you, so you know time for yourself.
Hmm.
Do you?
I sneak out for TV and movies.
That's why we worry about you.
Don't worry.
A lot.
Okay.
A
lot. Thank you so much. Don't worry. I'm supposed to bring you happiness, not worry. Okay? I can take care of myself. I'm strong. I am down sometimes, but that's just a way of life. You can't just have always up. Huh? It's okay. And when I'm in pain, I scream. And when I'm happy, I laugh. Just take it as it comes. Huh? No problem. God will never let me out of breath for too long. You give me an oxygen mask when I nearly die. Say, okay, here, get it. 5 minutes.
So I feel master, like an angel.
Angel?
Like a master.
Angel?
I feel that.
Oh, I'm both.
Yes.
Actually, when we practice, we become younger, energetic, and uplifted. And when people are uplifted and positive, they look younger, more lovely. Everybody like uplift person. Nobody likes miserable and uptight personalities. That's all, okay? And most of the time when I'm with you, I'm very happy. Because I'm honored by doing the job that assigned to me. And when I see your lovely face, your, how to say, loving glance, and your satisfactory smile seeing me, then I cannot be miserable or I cannot think of any sadness anymore. So most of the time when you see me, talk to you, you always see me, I'm very happy and smiling. And that makes me look younger and more lovely, like every of you. Right? It's just natural. Thank you for the compliment anyhow.
Thank you.
Master Qinghai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your company for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for more uplifting and constructive programs, 24 hours a day, every day of the week. God bless and farewell for now.
For more details, please see www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.